of John, the prologue, John chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And like I said, this is considered the prologue of the book of John. The prologue. This is the most famous, I don't know if anyone is aware of this, but as far as when they take surveys, as far as what's quoted and when they look back into the church fathers' writings, any type of literature that has been resurrected from the Christian, you know, Christendom past, if you will, just anyone who claimed to be a Christian, 1 Corinthians 13 and John chapter number 1, normally like the first five verses there, because you have a paragraph marker there, verse 6, are the two most famous passages in the entire Bible. John chapter number 1 in the very beginning right here is a very often misunderstood passage. Now, as everyone is aware, I've been, you know, on a roll preaching about, you know, the Trinity and about, you know, the nature of God, and I'm not stopping yet. There's something that's very, very often misunderstood about who Jesus is and about God's nature. Now, of course, as everyone here is aware, the Orthodox Trinity teaches that there are three distinct persons. I mean, how many times? You guys are probably having nightmares of me saying that over and over again. Three distinct persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they are not each other, right? I know everybody understands, but just for, you know, the sermon's sake tonight, they're not each other. Totally distinct. In what way they are one is their essence, because they are all three God. That's blasphemy, but that is what the Orthodox, supposed Orthodox Trinity teaches. Now, one thing that people will scoff at and they will mock at is when you say, like right here in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, they will scoff and mock at the idea if you try to tell them that word there just really means word. It just means word. Every other time that, you know, the Bible says word, it's talking about a spoken word coming out of somebody's mouth. It's talking about a saying, right? Whatever it may be speaking of, or someone saying a proverb, those are words that are coming out of their mouth, right? They'll scoff and they'll mock at this. The title of the sermon this evening is "The Word Was With God." I'm going to show you repeatedly, over and over and over again, passages we have not even looked at, that when the Bible says that Jesus was the Word made flesh, it is talking about the spoken Word of God. Amen. And it is when it says that the Word was with God, it is saying that God's Word was with Him and it dwells with Him. That's what we need, one thing that we need to understand that's very different. Jesus said when He walked this earth, everyone would agree, God manifest in the flesh, right? Amen. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Are your words spirit? Are your words life? No. But if your words were spirit and they were life, that would make sense if you'd say that your words were with you. Right? If they're living, it means they're dwelling with you. I'm going to show you repeatedly that the Bible teaches that Jesus, when it's referring to Him as the Word, it is talking about the Word that proceeds out of God's mouth. Now, right here, just on face value, we're going to come back to this in a moment, but I want to hit a couple of things. We're going to turn over to 1 John chapter number 1. If you want to go ahead and get that in your hand, you can. But right here, it just says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now I want to equip you with a couple of things. When someone attempts to try to twist this passage, they attempt to pervert what the Bible is saying. Now, when we sit here and we read, is there anything different about the word Word? Now let me say this though, really quick too. Let me say this. When the King James Bible capitalizes the word Word here, the term Word, when that's translated from Greek manuscripts, there was no capitalization. That's correct. There was no capitalization in the Greek manuscripts. You know, even the manuscript, even the some of the versions prior to the King James Bible that were translated into English, even I can't remember what year, but I'm almost positive in the early years. I'm like 99% positive in the early years of the English Bible when it was translated, there were no capitalizations even at that time. So that right there, you know, when they capitalize that right there is, it just is the word Word. Okay, that's my point. When you see Word there, it's just Word. All right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, the first thing that they'll try to do that I want to point out is this. When they see the word God right there, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, they say, well, that is God the Father. That is the first person of the Trinity, right? Then, right after that, when it says, after it says, and the Word was with God, it says this, and the Word was God. All of a sudden, the word God has a totally different meaning in their book. All of a sudden, the word God no longer is referring to a person or a he. It's referring to a what. Listen, the Bible, not one time, ever, one time in the entire Bible, is ever just talking about God as a what. Every time it talks about God, it is talking about a he. Right. God is a person. God is not a what. Amen. If you believe right here, it says, and the Word was God, and you think that that is just speaking of having the divine qualities, then you believe that you, then you have no problem with the Jehovah's Witness translation when the Bible says, and the Word was a God. Right. You can fight that tooth and nail. You can deny that all you want, but here I'm going to prove it to you. So if right there when it says, and the Word was God, or the Word was with God, the Word was with God, the Word in their mind, in their twisted world, the Word is a second person, right? And he is with who? God the Father. So the Father is right here, and he is God, right? No one's disputing that. No one's denying that, right? Okay? Well, when we get to the next passage, or the next part of that verse, it says, and the Word was God. Now, the Word, is it saying, in their view, they would be very against saying that the Word is this person, right? So the Word is totally distinct and separate. So in their mind, what is this? What is that God? What is God right there trying to say? You know what the Jehovah's Witness Bible says? A God. They, in their mind, and in their when they're reading of the Bible, that's what they believe that that's saying.
Right.
He is just a God. He is just also God. So you know what you have? And that's one thing that I'm going to point out repeatedly in tonight's sermon, because when you start saying that the Word doesn't mean that the literal Word of God, I'm going to show you over and over again, when that doctrine specifically is attacked, that's when people start putting their foot all over polytheism. All the time. Every time when this discussion comes up, it's always they start dabbling in polytheism. Because if the Word, in their view, has to be a separate person than God, you have two gods.
Right.
Period. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. And that's what they're doing in this. And you know what? If you really pin down a Jehovah's Witness, has anybody ever done that before? I've done it multiple times. You know what they'll end up confessing to you? Yeah, there's multiple gods. There are. There's one God Almighty, but there's multiple gods. And do you know what they believe that they're, how their Bible should be translated? Right there in John 1, their Bible is translated this way. It says, in their Bible, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. You know why they translated it that way, the Word was a God? Because they believe that God there is just referring to divine qualities. Just saying that He is God in general. And that's the exact interpretation that Orthodox Trinitarians take of this passage. You know, that gives you two gods. Daniel Wallace, who is the head, he is looked at as the number one, he's the expert on manuscript evidence. Daniel Wallace is a hardcore Orthodox Trinitarian who's, yoked up with James White. And he said, I can't remember which Bible it is, but there's a modern Christian Bible that actually translated this as the Word was a God or something, or divine or something like that. Maybe they use the word divine. And he said that there's nothing wrong with that, because the second time that God is used there, it's not talking about a he, it's talking about a what. That's blasphemy. Every time the Bible talks about God, it's talking about he. God is a he. That's retarded. It's ridiculous.
Amen.
It's a red flag when someone all of a sudden wants to try to redefine all these different words for you. One time a word's used is talking about a person, God the Father. The second time the word's used in the same verse, five words from one another, it's all of a sudden not talking about a person, it's talking about an attribute. Show me another time in the Bible where God is talking about a divine quality or an attribute. It never happens once in the entire Bible. Yeah. It's always talking about a he. It's always talking about him. Right. It's always talking about the Lord, the King of Kings, the God of the universe. Amen. He, his, him, thee, thy, a person.
Right. Amen.
Now right here it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They not only try to change the word God, from meaning something the first time that it occurs, then the second time it occurs, but all of a sudden the word word, the term word, doesn't mean word all of a sudden. Nowhere else in the Bible does this occur except here. Isn't that kind of weird? Right. Nowhere else in the Bible. Now, and where are they getting this from? Is there anything in John chapter number 1 that would imply that this is not a literal word? Anything. Where are they getting it from then? It's a private interpretation. They make that up. Yeah. Now, you're in 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. Now, this is a parallel passage. And like I said, I wanted you to keep your hand there. Whoops. Where we were. 1 John chapter number 1. Keep your hand in John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1 says this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Now, did that start off familiar? Did that sound familiar to what we just read, right? In the beginning, right? Now, when we just read in John 1:1, that's actually pointing me back to Genesis 1. We'll get to that in a moment. It's the exact same three words that are used at the beginning of your Bible. Exact same. In the beginning, right? Now, right here when it says, that which was from the beginning, this is pointing you to John 1. It's the same author. We'll see he's talking about the same thing, but there's something very interesting you can learn by comparing these two together. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Now watch this. Of the word of life. Right? Talking about the exact same thing. Now I want you to watch very carefully in verse number 2. For the life was manifested. What's he talking about? The word of life, right? For the life was manifested, and we have, watch this, seen, excuse me, it. You notice that? We have seen it. Keep reading. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now, two things I want to point out about this passage. Number one, notice when you compare John 1 to 1 John 1:1, over in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You compare 1 John chapter number 1, and in 1 John chapter number 1, when it's talking about the Word, it calls it an it. Doesn't that make sense if we're speaking of His literal Word, right? Amen. It is an it, because it's the words that are coming out of His mouth. His words are living. Now, He is a person, and He is also His Word. That is a fact. That's what the Bible teaches. But wouldn't it make perfect sense that we can elsewhere see it referred to as an it, if it is speaking of His spoken Word? Wouldn't that make sense? Now, right here, notice what it says also. It says, we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. Now, watch this. Which was with the Father. Now, when we go back over to John chapter number 1, when it tells you in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God, who is God there? The Father. So now we have an interpretation of who we're talking about, which there's only one God in the first place.
Right.
But, you know, since some people are mentally handicapped, you have to define every single word in one verse. You have to go to like 50 places. Oh, you don't know. So and it's so silly because this is what it really comes down to. If you go to 1 John chapter number 1, it's like, oh, word there doesn't really mean word. But okay, let's say, look, John chapter number 1, just for an example. I've seen them say this multiple times. Word doesn't really mean word. But does beginning really mean beginning here? Does you know, with really mean with? Does God really mean God? I mean, we could do this all day. But all of a sudden, the word word doesn't mean word. That's because people have an agenda.
Right.
When a Calvinist tries to pull out a false doctrine, what do they tell you? All doesn't really mean all. That word doesn't really mean all. You know why? Why would they say that? Because what if the word all really means all? What happens to the Calvinist doctrine? It's false.
Right.
What if the word really means word here? You know what happens? Yeah, it's a false doctrine.
That's right.
It's a false doctrine. If word really seriously means word, what are they going to do? It's been disproven. It's not a second person.
Amen.
Now, while you're in 1 John, go over to 1 John chapter number 5. Look at verse number 7. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 7. I think maybe... are those the visitors there?
White van?
Yeah, it's a white van.
Yeah.
That's them?
Yeah.
They'll enjoy this. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 7. The Bible says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So notice, There are three that bear record in heaven, right? This is where we can clearly see that God has a distinction within his nature. He does, doesn't he? There are three within God's nature. He says that there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, right? And then he says this, and these three are one. There's nothing wrong with using the word Trinity. There's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing wrong with saying that God has a triune nature. That is 100% correct. God, within God's nature, within his essence, if you will, God has a Trinity. God is made up of a Trinity. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. But do you know what the word Trinity means? Tri means three. You know what the last part of the word means? Unity means one. These three are one. The Orthodox Trinity, supposedly the Orthodox Trinity, they deny the one aspect of that. And they act like it's blasphemy to say that they are one. That is the Trinity.
Right.
Teaching that they're these three are one. That in and of itself is teaching the Trinity.
Amen.
Now right here we see that there are three that bear record in heaven. So we can see a distinction there, correct? We can see that there is some sort of a distinction between the three. Now, go back over to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. We'll see this also in John chapter number 1, where we were before. John chapter number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So is that a distinction? Is that a distinction? The Word was with God. So it's showing a distinction from God and from the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then it says, and the Word was God. The true Trinity is that there are three. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. They are distinct. God's Word is distinct from Him, but it is His Word.
Right.
God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost, there is a distinction from Him. That's right, but it's His Spirit.
Right.
But here's the thing. You can't deny that these three are one. Don't give me this crap, homoousios. Homoousios, your homo means same. Ousios means substance. That's not the same. Josh Hall, Brother Hall, and Brother Russell and I, we're not the same. We're not united.
Right.
We have one thing in common. We're human beings. Now to say, oh, there's three and they're all God, therefore there's unity. I mean, they're three, they're one. No, they're not one. That's not one.
Right.
That's not the same thing. That is not a true Trinity. Right here, when you read this, God, I mean, to try to turn this scripture on the top, on its head, is so ridiculous to say that God, the first time, means something different than it does the second time.
Right.
Do you know what they're doing? They're denying the true Trinity.
Right.
Because John chapter number 1 is telling you that God is distinct from His Word, but God is His Word.
Amen.
Both are true.
Right.
These three are one. These three are one. That's the true Trinity. The true teaching of the Trinity. That there is a triune nature, but these three are one. They're not just one in essence. That's not what 1 John chapter number 5 says. They're not just one in substance, one in essence, one in kind, like that thing we read. Got questions? No, these three are one. They are actually one. When you read it, it says, these three are one. I mean, they're one.
Right.
You know, when Jesus says, I and my Father are one, what did He just get done explaining? In John chapter number 10, He says, no man can pluck them out of my hand. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What is He saying? We have the same hand.
Right.
We're one.
Amen.
When I'm talking about my Father and I'm talking about myself, we're one. But guess what? There is a distinction between God and His Word. There is a distinction. So we don't want to get imbalanced and start to just go way too far on one side. We have to acknowledge that God is a Trinity, that God has a triune nature. But guess what? God at the same time is one. And if people want to scoff and mock at the fact that the Bible teaches that there's a distinction between God's Word and between, you know, there's a distinction between God's Word and between His Holy Spirit, but at the same time He is His Word, well, go ahead and scoff it up. But that's what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
We're going to show repeatedly, over and over again, that God is His Word. And you know what that should cause you to do? Is hold this book in a little bit higher reverence. That's what it should cause you to do. To understand that these words, not the ink on the paper, But these words came from the very mouth of the divine creator of this world. The same words that had the power to speak nothing into existence were the same words that God spoke and a prophet wrote them down, and you have them in your Bible today.
Right.
That should cause you to revere this book a lot more when you understand that these words are divine in their essence, if you will. That these words are God. The words, not the book, not the ink, but the words. Why? Because they came out of the Creator's mouth. And God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is God's Word right here.
Amen.
Therefore, these words, not the book, not the ink, these words are God.
Amen.
According to John chapter number 1, verse number 1.
Amen.
Now, like I said, I'm going to show you repeatedly, that when it says word here, it actually means word. I feel like we're in the third grade. Like we're in the second grade or something. Like we've got to define every word when we read through a verse. But I'm going to show you when the Bible teaches that God is His word, that it actually means word, a spoken word out of His mouth. Now, John chapter number 1, as I had you turn to, we're going to read 1 through 3. The Bible says this, in the beginning. Now, right off the bat, where's the only parallel to this? Like specifically, Genesis 1. So we're going to go there in just a moment. But it says, in the beginning. Those exact three words are found in Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1. So it's pointing you to Genesis 1. So we're going to go there and learn what it's talking about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. It says the same, so I meant the Word. Further establishing that there's a distinction, right? The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. We just established that God is His Word. And then it says He. So that makes me think, well, it sounds like God created all things by His Word. And He is His Word, right? We can test theories, but doesn't that make perfect sense of what we just read? It says right there, you know, all things were made by Him, right after it got done saying, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, that makes perfect sense. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So the Bible clearly says right here, without Him, without God and His Word, there wasn't anything that was made, right? Genesis chapter number 1. Look over at Genesis chapter 1, see those words, in the beginning. In the beginning. Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. We're going to test the theory. Does word actually mean word? Genesis chapter number 1. I'm going to read to you. The law of first mention is very important. If you want to know what a word means, you look it up the very first time that it occurs. If you look up the word, the term word, to avoid confusion there, the term word, singing, it's a singular form in that exact form. This is the first time that it shows up. Genesis chapter number 15, verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So notice there we see the word of the Lord came unto him in a vision. It says that the word of the Lord was, it was saying. Now somebody can say, well, the word of the Lord, you know, is a person there. And that's why it says, saying. You've got to be kidding me. But that's so ridiculous. Let's say that I had my Bible, right? And I was holding my Bible right here. Now, no one would say that this is a person, right? Everyone would say these are actual words, right? Could you walk up to me and say, hey, brother, what's the good book say? And I could read it to you, right? Because there are literal words on this, in this book. Do you understand what I'm saying? The word of the Lord said this because they were actual words. Because he's talking about his actual words that he spoke in a vision. Right? So when it says word there, you know what's equivalent with is saying. Saying. The word is a saying. Now we go to Genesis chapter number 1. It says this. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So we see God created the heaven and the earth, right? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse number 3. We don't get very far in before the Bible interprets itself. Verse number 3. And God said. What just happened?
Spoke.
Words came out of God's mouth, didn't they?
Right.
Words came out of God's mouth. In the beginning was the Word. And what do we find 3 verses in Genesis chapter number 1?
Spoke.
literal and actual words coming out of God's mouth, don't we? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, it says in verse 1. Verse number 3, and God said, let there be light. Now watch this. And there was light. How did God create the light? He spoke it, right? The words that came out of his mouth. God said, let there be light. It says, and there was light. Well, did he have to command some other person, or did he just do it one person himself? One person. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen. Look at the next verse. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness called he night. Now, is there any indication that there's another person standing beside him, right next to him?
No.
Over next to him? No, not at all, right? One person speaking, right?
Amen.
And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. It says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse number 6. And God said, what's he doing? Again, speaking words. What did John chapter 1, verse number 3 said? It said, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So you know what you should expect when you go to Genesis chapter number 1? If it's speaking of his literal word, every single thing that he creates should be him speaking.
Amen.
Isn't that perfectly consistent with what we read in John chapter number 1?
Right.
Okay, so when we look here and it says, again, verse number 6, he's going to create something else. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Now right here, we're going to stop for a moment. So, Michaela, can you give me a glass of water, a cup of water? Here's the thing. When you start reinterpreting John chapter number 1, when it says, in the beginning was the Word. That's a person, a separate person. In the beginning was the Word. It's not a literal word. That's a title or a name that's given to a person. That's what people will say with the Orthodox Trinity, which is false. In the beginning was the Word, and they'll say, and the Word, this person, was with God. Now, that's God the Father. Thank you. And the Word was with God, the Father, right? And the Word was God. So, this guy, who is what? The Word, it just told you that he's what? God.
Right?
But he's also with what?
God.
Okay. I'll leave you to count for a minute in your mind, your own mind. So I don't know how many gods you think that that is, but that's two. There's no way around it. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. If it's a separate person, the Word was God. That's two gods.
Right.
I'll show you why if you misinterpret that as being the literal word, and you start rubbing your foot all in polytheism and start believing in a multiplicity of God, because now you just open the door up to every time the Bible says God, you can just interpret that as first person, second person, any time that you want. When you read the word God, you don't know whether it's talking about the second person that's God, or the first person that's God, or the third person that's God. You got three people to choose from now, right? If you start believing in this Orthodox Trinity. But, you know, the Bible just makes sense. God's not the author of confusion. One, singular. See what happened there? God, the singular God, the one person, is not the author of confusion. There's one God, right? So when the Bible says God, it's just the one God. It's just the one person, right? When you start doing this, I'm going to show you the stupidity and the idiocy that you can get into. There's a guy in this town whose name is Adam Fannin, who has repeatedly attacked our church. Over and over and over again. And the guy of his movement, he is the biggest railer, he is the biggest liar. This guy will just, he has zero conscience, and he will just say whatever comes to his mind. And that's how people get when they really get against someone. It, you know, especially if you don't have any integrity, but this guy apparently does not. He has said just a multiplicity, believes in a multiplicity of gods, and he said a multiplicity of things about us that we do not believe at all, period. Just over and over and over. Things that he has never heard me say, just a total and absolute lie.
Right.
The guy has stood up behind the pulpit multiple times and said, you know, Pastor Tyler Baker, he wouldn't call me Pastor, Tyler Baker at Value Baptist Church, you know, he doesn't even believe that Jesus is God. Show me one time where I've ever said that.
Right.
Show me one time where I've ever said that. You're a bold-faced liar.
That's right.
And to make just a plain statement like that against someone else, wouldn't that bother your conscience?
Yeah.
Just to just make something up and just lie about something like that? That's horrible.
Right.
He stood up and he's like, yeah, Tyler Baker believes that Jesus stopped being God on the cross. Have I ever said that one time? Where's he getting it from?
Right.
His imagination, that's where he's getting it from. He's making crap up, that's why. And you know, here's the thing. When you gotta like make stuff up against somebody else, and you are, if I'm wrong, attack what I preach. If I'm teaching heresy, why don't you attack the words, the actual words that are coming out of my mouth?
Right.
That shows you can't handle it because it's the truth.
Amen.
That shows that you're not able to attack the preaching. You're not able to attack the doctrine. Here he stood up and he said multiple. How many times, just the people in here, right? How many times have you heard me clarify that Jesus Christ was God while he died on the cross? I shouldn't even have to say that. That's so retarded.
Amen.
Multiple times.
Amen.
Multiple times. Jesus Christ was the eternal God that has zero beginning.
Right,
and he became a man. The person of Jesus that lived on this earth has always been God and will always be God. There's one person.
Amen.
He's eternally God. He'll never stop being God. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
Amen.
The first and the last.
Right.
I've preached it multiple times, but then next week he'll stand up because he knows, like, oh man, somebody probably heard him say that. And then he goes up, he's like, I gotta write something in my sermon here real quick. You know Tyler Baker doesn't believe that Jesus is God? Hopefully he doesn't. Hopefully the people in my church don't go back and look and see what he actually preached.
Right.
You've never heard me say that, and he's the biggest liar in the world. Now I'm going to show you something that he actually said recently. And I'm going to show you that this guy is preaching polytheism. And he's preaching more than one God. Now, here's the thing. Just check up on what I said. You say, well, you said this, he said that. Go look at what I said and go look at what he said. You be the judge. You know, don't just take my word for it. You go look and you go see what this guy said. And I've kept my mouth shut because he's in the same city as me, but that guy is worse than any of the other people in this movement. He said worse things about our church. He said the biggest lies of all of these idiots. He just makes stuff up repeatedly. He's took it to just a new, you know, and I'm going to show you that the guy is a total and absolute novice. The kind of crap that he says is embarrassing, and I'm not exaggerating. I wouldn't be surprised. My daughter's read the Bible like 5 times now. I wouldn't be surprised if she's read the Bible more times than he has with this kind of stupidity. Now, look here. I'm not even kidding when I say that. I know it's funny, but I'm being serious. You know, what I'm about to tell you that he said is it just shows when you start misinterpreting what John 1:1 is teaching, you just start dabbling in more than one God is what you do. Genesis chapter number 1, verse number, where are we at here? Verse number 6, right? The Bible says, and God said, the one, the only, the holy one, the eternal God, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Now, the real interpretation of this is God spoke the words. He created it instantaneously.
Amen.
As soon as he said it. Because the word creates that, right?
Right?
He divided the water from the waters, okay? And then it's just restating the same thing. Now, I'm going to prove this to you without a shadow of a doubt in just a moment. It's just restating the same thing. Adam Fannin says that in verse number 6, it said, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. So, I don't know what kind of revelation he got from God, but he says that the first God there is God the Father. And God said, that's God the Father. That's the first person of the Trinity. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Now, verse number 7, and God, that's not the Father anymore. That's the Son. The Father told the Son what to do. And God made the firmament. So you have the Father saying, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, let it may divide the waters from the waters. And then the Son's over here, and God made the firmament. He spoke the word, supposedly. He created it. Okay. Verse number 6. What's the second word there?
God.
Okay. Verse number 7. What's the second word there?
God.
Okay. If these are not the same,
right.
How many are there?
Two.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
Do we believe in more than one God?
No.
This is ridiculous.
Amen.
There's one God.
Right.
When he says, and God said, it's the same person that made it.
Right.
It's one God.
Amen.
There's one God that spoke and he made it.
So
I'm going to prove this by a shadow of a doubt. This is so elementary. It's so weird and ridiculous. this, we're going to read down through here. If you got, this is going to be a little while. If anybody wants to go get coffee, you go ahead, because we're reading through Genesis chapter number 1. It says in verse number 8, and God called the firmament heaven. Now, I don't know which one he says, if this is the Father or the Son calling the firmament heaven. We'll have to ask him, because he gets these special revelations from, I don't know if he gets his revelations from the Father or the Son either. Maybe you go ask him and then text me or something, let me know. It says in verse number 8, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, now this is the Father, I guess, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. Now I want to point out a new pattern to you, because this changes, and this is going to be very relevant here in just a minute. And it was so. So when did it take place? Huh, isn't that kind of funny?
Right.
Now we're going to come back to that and prove what happened in those other verses here in just a minute. But notice, immediately, God said, right. He spoke the words, God said, and he created it with his word. Not a second person, said, the words came out of his mouth. That's how powerful God is. He said the words, and he creates things.
Right.
He speaks things and they happen.
Right.
Verse number 9. Verse number 10, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. Keep watching. And it was so. Notice the pattern change. God said, it happened, and it was so. When was it so? Right after he said it.
Right.
Keep reading. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth and in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. Watch. And it was so. Notice this pattern stayed, right? And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now watch verse 26. This is one of the ones they want to bring up all the time, right? Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now watch verse 27. So God created man in his own image. Now number one, how many images are there?
One.
What? It says the word own. In his own image. If there's three people there, you can't say that one of them created him in his own image. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
God created man in his own image. You know why you can't say that? Because the Bible tells you very clearly that Jesus Christ is the image of the Father.
Amen.
And that's actually, I'm going to go into this deeper right now, these couple of verses, because they want to bring these up all the time. What did we read in John chapter number 1? Now, God is a Trinity, but he's not three persons. It's the Father, his literal word, and his Spirit.
Amen.
He can send his Spirit, and his words are not like your words. The Bible, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God's words are living, so where are they? They're dwelling with him, aren't they? People are like, well, where are his words? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell me.
Yeah.
But it tells you clearly that his word is with God. It says that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. We validate that that's his literal word. We go back. In the beginning, God said.
Yeah.
Right? The word word just means word. We don't even need to validate that, but just to further prove that to people that don't want to accept the truth is what it is. So right here when it says, let us make man in our image. How was God creating everything else up to this point? His word. How many people were speaking?
One
person, and God said. Now, what was God using to create everything?
His word.
His word, right? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. God has a plurality in his nature, but that does not qualify to where, oh, there's three people here. Oh, there's two persons here. One image. It says, and God made man in his own image. However you want to slice this verse up, I don't care. But do you know what you're stuck with? One image. One image standing there and saying, let us make man in our image, after our likeness.
Right.
Let us in our, the Father, his word, and the Holy Spirit. Because his words are alive, and they're living, and they're dwelling inside of him.
Amen.
That's why. There's no other way around it. That's why repeatedly, and if you go back, you can even look at the pattern. Like right here where it said, and God said, let us. You go back, and what does he say? Very beginning. And God, in verse number 3. And God said, let. Notice that pattern? What's going on? You got one person speaking, and the words come out of his mouth, and he creates light.
Right.
You know, now, people would say, well, you know, why is God speaking in plurality? Because God, I believe that God chose to speak in plurality right here. People have been like, you know, Jonathan Shelley, idiot, was like, you know, what if I went over in the closet and I got in the closet? I don't know if he did that, but I'm trying to make him look stupid. I go over in the closet and I say, hey, and I'm talking in there. And you're like, hey, who's in there with you? And he's like, hey, me and my words. Me and my words are in there. Well, here's the question. Are your words alive, number one?
No.
Are your words living? Can you breathe the breath of life into Adam's nostrils?
No.
No. Are your words with you? Can you say like Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life?
No.
You can't say that, can you, Jonathan Shelley? So number one, we have a major problem there. Right? So, you know, let's make sure that these are equal comparisons before you start making stupid examples. I'm going to go in the closet and say, and talk to myself. Okay? Every time... When the things that are recorded in the beginning of the creation story, right? Do you think there are other things that happened that God didn't record? Of course. I mean, he's just giving you the things what? Why are these things recorded? For God or for you?
For us.
For us, right? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 15, verse number 3, I can't remember off the top of my head, that the things that are written for our learning and for our admonition. Jesus Christ, when he rose, when he was raising Lazarus from the dead, and he prayed to God the Father, do you know what he said to God the Father? I'm not praying, I'm not saying all this, you know, so that I can do this or for your sake. I'm saying it for their sake. Do you know why in Genesis chapter 1, the whole chapter, he's speaking in singularity? In the whole Bible, he speaks in singularity. But then specifically right here, he says, let us make man in our image. I'll tell you two reasons. Number one, this is for your learning. He wants you to know that God has a triune nature. This is a revelation unto you. And when you're given John 1:1, guess what? Go back. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then when you get to 1 John 5:7, you're not confused. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Well, that makes perfect sense.
Right.
God spoke in plurality to reveal for a revelation of his triune nature, that his words are alive and his spirit is alive. But I'll tell you even further, why does he choose to do so here? Why would he do that? Well, let me ask you this question. What was the pattern of what was creating everything else specifically? The word. Mm-hmm. And guess what happened in John 1, verse 14, I believe. And the word was made flesh. Do you know when the word took on flesh? Do you know what that flesh was? It was the image of God.
Amen.
Let us make man in our image, because the words that he spoke out of his mouth, that right there was God's image, the image of the invisible God. It was his words being made flesh. Let us make man in our image. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He has a triune nature. And that's a fact. We don't deny that. Oneness Pentecostals deny that, and that's the difference.
Right.
If you told a Oneness Pentecostal that I believe that, they would say that's heresy. Mm-hmm. I dare anyone to call up the Oneness Pentecostal and tell them that I believe that God has a triune nature. There's one person, but he has a triune nature. He is a Trinity, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are distinct. I guarantee they say that's Trinitarianism and that's heresy. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, that's biblical Trinitarianism. Amen. The Orthodox Trinity is not biblical.
Right.
The Orthodox Trinity is Roman, pagan, you know, it's Catholicism is what it is. Three people.
Right.
And God said, let there be a firmament. And then you got this guy over here. And God, now this is a different person, let me let you know that, made the firmament. I mean, come on. How in the world would you know that, Joseph Smith? Getting these special revelations. When I woke up, I don't even remember the dream. He just told me that that God the Father commanded God the Son. They want to hang on. You know what they're doing? Jesus had to have permission from God the Father.
Yeah.
You know what I'm always, what did I say last week? What are they always doing? You wonder why I keep preaching about this. Because, I don't know if you can tell, but I am as sincere can be, and this ticks me off. It's blasphemy when they keep wanting to, you know, blaspheme Jesus.
Right.
The Father's got to tell the Son everything that He's going to do.
Yeah.
The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords and the King of kings.
Amen.
Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see.
Amen.
That is the blessed and only potentate. Only potentate.
That's right. Amen.
Potentate's talking about power.
Right.
That's what the word potentate means. It's referring to power. Right? Jesus Christ is the one and only true God that sits on the throne, that's in heaven, that spoke this world into existence. One person with one mind, He is that one God in the flesh.
Amen.
And God did so by causing His words. Just like He always does. When God wants to do something, He speaks.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to show you that how stupid and how novice this was. Adam Fanning saying, the first time when it says in verse number 6, look back and let me refresh your memory. Verse number 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. That's the Father speaking, right? Well, since He said it was okay, in verse number 7, the Son says, and God made. Or the Bible tells you that the Son there, and God made the firmament. So He says the first God is God the Father, the second God is God the Son. But they're not polytheistic. These guys don't believe in more than one God. Even though these two are two different, you know, not gods, persons. Now, here's the thing. I pointed out to you already, the pattern changes in verse number 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. Watch this. And it was so. So, number one, when does it take place?
When He speaks it.
Right? And I'm going to prove to you, when it says right there in verse number 7, and God made the firmament, it's just recapping and just repeating the same thing. I want you to go to verse number 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Now watch this. And it was so. So what happened just now? They're there, right? It was so. What He just said took place, okay? I'm going to stress this. It was so. What He just said, it happened.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
Look at the next verse. And God made two great lights. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So it says, He made two great lights in the skies, and He made the stars also. Let me ask you this question. When the Bible says in verse number 14, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. What divides the day from the night?
The sun and the moon.
The sun and the moon, right? What are the other lights in the sky? The stars. And it was so. There's a greater light and there's a lesser light in the sky right at that moment when He speaks it. And it was so.
Amen.
And then when it says, and God made, guess what it does? It restates the same thing, but it gives you specific details about what just took place.
Right.
It was already so when it says, and God made.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
So when we look up there in verse number 7, and God made the firmament, it's just restating the same thing, because when God says something, it happens.
Amen.
One God speaks, and it brings things into existence.
Right.
One person speaks. There's only one God. And when you start saying, oh, the Word was with God, that's one person, that's one God, and the Word was God, now you've just opened up the door So every time you see God, you can interpret it however you want. This is God the Father, this is God the Son. And then you get further and further and further into this weird teaching that's polytheistic.
Right.
You know, it's total blasphemy. I mean, think about that, a Christian teaching that there's more than one God.
Yeah.
I mean, God the Father. We don't believe in more than one God. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They're all three God and they're not each other. They don't believe in more than one God. Come on.
Right.
You know, sometimes you have to listen to what someone's explaining. Right? When someone's, you have to try the spirits. People will lie to you. But then you'll sit there and you'll listen to what they're saying and they're like, well, you just told me you believe. It's not what you're saying at all.
Yeah.
You have to be able to see through it and use the Bible to interpret things, right? Now we're going to move on from that. And I'm going to have you turn to Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 5. I'm going to show you that the Bible teaches over and over again that Jesus Christ is the literal Word. That Jesus Christ was the literal Word made flesh. In John 1, where we began, John chapter number 1, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, God and His Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Then we read in verse number 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the Word of God being made flesh. Notice it's the Word being made flesh. Over and over again, it's the Word of God. We look up in the beginning and we see God said, right? Now, Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 5. You know what? Actually, I'm going to have you go over to Revelation 19 first. I think I deleted something out of here. Oh, no, I didn't. This thing printed on the back. Whoops. Revelation chapter number 19. I'm going to read to you also from Psalm chapter number 33 about what we just read. God clarifies, just in case you were wondering, that He was literally speaking and He was literally creating things. Psalm chapter number 33, verse number 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, saying everything in it, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth.
Amen.
So just in case you didn't think He was actually speaking, let me tell you that it was the breath of my mouth when I spoke.
Right.
The Word of God. The breath of His mouth.
Amen.
The literal Word of God. Revelation chapter number 19. So we know that the Word was made flesh, right? The Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ was the Word of God in the flesh, but at the same time He is God, right?
Amen.
Now let's look at the distinction of Jesus Christ being the Word right now, that He is the literal Word of God in the flesh. Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 11. The Bible says this. When Jesus Christ comes back, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Now, I want you to notice that He's called Faithful and True. It was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. This is Jesus Christ. And on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. So notice He's called the Word of God again, right? We see Him referred to over and over again as the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the Word was made flesh. God was made flesh by His Word. His Word was born on this earth, lived on this earth as a man, right? He ascended into heaven. And then He's coming back right here in Revelation 19. That same Word, the literal Word that God spoke out of His mouth, was made flesh. Right? I want you to pay close attention to what it says in verse number 11. Very interesting. When it's talking about the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And He that sat upon Him, watch this, was called Faithful and True. So what is the Word of God? Faithful and True. I want you to turn over in your Bible now to Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 5. Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 5, we have God seated upon the throne. I want you to pay close attention to this. Revelation chapter number 25, verse 21, verse number 5. You'll have to take a long time finding chapter 25. Revelation 21, verse number 5, he says this, and he, that's God, that sat upon the throne, said, that sound familiar? Genesis chapter number 1, now watch this. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. What was the word of God coming back called? He says he was faithful and true. God is seated upon the throne, and you know what he says? He says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And just in case you didn't think I was talking about my literal words, you can write them down. Write, for these words are faithful and true. Notice the same exact characteristics of the word of God coming back on a white horse. He's faithful and true. And then God, one chapter later, sitting upon the throne, speaks. And he says, the words that come out of my mouth, they're faithful and they're true. Amen. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is the literal Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's check that up. Genesis chapter number 1. And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Right.
God said. All right, let's look at another passage, because it doesn't end here. I want you to look over at Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 14. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 14. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 14. Jesus Christ speaking, he says in verse number 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. Now, does everyone know what the word Amen means? It means truth, basically. The word Amen in the Bible is the exact same word in Greek as verily. It's the exact same word. They mean the same thing. Everybody knows verily means truth. A lot of people are confused about what Amen means. They think it means like so be it. It means, in a way you could say it means so be it, but it means truth. That's what it means. It's an opener when you're going to say something like Jesus says, verily, verily, like truly, truly, or really, really. I say unto thee, right? That's Jesus speaking. But then also you can use it as a closer in speech. When you're done praying, you say amen, saying, this is true, what I just said, right? That's what you're saying when you say amen. This is true, right? Now, right here when he says, saith the amen, what is amen?
True.
It's truth.
Right.
But what is it? Think about that for a minute.
Word.
It's a word, isn't it?
Yeah.
A literal word that comes out of your mouth, right? Saith, notice what he says, the amen. That's how he refers. He's saying, talking to himself, these things saith the amen. He's talking about a word, right? Look at what it says next. These things saith the Amen. Watch this. The faithful and true witness. You notice that? What was it said? What did it say over in Revelation chapter number 21, verse 5? Right, for these words are faithful and true. God seated upon the throne, his words were faithful and true, right? And Jesus Christ, who was that word made flesh, he is the faithful and true witness. Because those are the same words in a body. You understand?
Right.
And his words are living. So it says, the faithful and true witness. And then it says this. This is very, very interesting. The beginning of the creation of God. Keep your hand here and turn over to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. We'll find a very similar phrase. Now, what did we see that Jesus Christ was in Revelation when we compare Revelation 19 to Revelation 21:5? That he is the literal word of God. How did God create the world? He spoke. You know why? And I'm going to prove this to you from Colossians chapter 1. He's called the beginning of the creation of God because he brought creation into existence. He created everything by his word.
Amen.
All things were made by him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. He created everything. He is the Amen. He is the word spoken. I'm going to prove that to you here in Colossians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 14. In whom, now the whom there is the Son. It's talking about Jesus Christ. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. Now watch this. For by him were all things created. How was everything created? By God's word, right? Because he is the word of God. By him, the word of God, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Look at verse 17. And he is before all things. So he is before everything that exists. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So everything that consists, everything that is maintained in this universe, it keeps running because of him. Because he's the one that spoke it into existence. Now look at verse number 18. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning. What is he called here? He is the beginning. You know why? Because he spoke, he brought the beginning. In the beginning, God said, there's the beginning of the creation of God. It was, there was nothing, and you know what brought the very first thing into existence? The Word of God. Amen. That was the cause and the effect. These bunch of atheistic scientists that are out there trying to find out where our universe came from, it came from the mouth of God. That's where it came from. Right. It came from him speaking this world into existence.
Amen.
God said, that's the beginning of the creation of God. Maybe, you know, all this power of like, the, you know, they're like, they see like all this radiation out in the, you know, these microwave radiation and stuff out there. That just shows the power of God's word, buddy. That's what I get from that. They see, oh man, they're so, we can, you know, read this, and it's so strong. It just shows how powerful God's word is.
Amen.
He is the beginning of the creation of God, it says in Revelation chapter number 3, but that's not it. Look at Revelation chapter number 22, verse 5. Very interesting. We'll see this again. Revelation chapter number 22, verse 5. So notice Jesus there again says that he is the faithful and true witness. And he also says he's the beginning of the creation of God. Why? Because he's the Word of God. He began the creation. He brought the creation into existence. By him all things were made, right? But it said he was called faithful and true. And then he said he was the faithful and true witness. Then we saw when God was seated upon the throne, what did God say? Write for these words, literal words. You can write them on a piece of paper. Write for these words are faithful and true. Look at Revelation chapter number 22, verse number 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, watch this, these sayings are faithful and true. These sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. So when he says, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel, he's saying these words are not my words. These words are the words of God. God sent me to tell you this, and guess what? These sayings, they're not just my words. These sayings are faithful and they're true. Notice what he says there. If you look over one chapter back, notice where we're at. Revelation chapter number 22. If we go back one chapter, Revelation 21, you have him sitting on the throne, and he says, write, for these words are faithful and true. And just in case you thought I was talking about another person coming out of my mouth, the very next chapter, he says, write, because these sayings.
Right.
You know what a word is? It's a saying.
Amen.
It's something that comes out of your mouth.
Right.
Jesus Christ is faithful and true when he comes back on that horse. Do you know why? Because he is the literal spoken Word of God in the flesh.
Amen.
The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
That's
now
right.
We look at 1 Timothy 3:16. It makes perfect sense because it says, God was manifest in the flesh. And then, hey, what? Guess what? John chapter number 1, verse number 14. It says, and the Word was made flesh. So we have a verse that says that the Word is God. Then we find a verse that says the Word was made flesh. And then we have a verse that says God was made flesh.
Right.
Maybe because he's literally his Word.
Amen.
It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Genesis chapter number 1. God said, let there be light.
Right.
I mean, it's just evidence upon evidence upon evidence over and over again.
Right.
These sayings, just in case you didn't know that these are words, get a pen and paper and just write them down.
Right.
He said, I am the Amen. It's a word. I'm the beginning of the creation of God.
Right.
He brought all things into existence over and over and over again.
Amen.
We're almost done. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I got this passage and one more and we're done. Very interesting. I'm just going to quote it to you. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, so in different ways, different times, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. What's it talking about? His word. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. His word.
Right.
The word in the flesh. The word was made flesh.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I want you to notice this. You may not have picked this up before. It's kind of subtle. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 1, it says, "And I, brethren," Paul speaking, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. So what's he talking about? His words, right? His speech. Or of wisdom. So the words, his words containing wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. So things that you declare are speaking. I want you to catch this. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." So when he came to them and they weren't saved, the only thing he wanted to tell them about was Jesus Christ. And he made sure that when he spoke to them, it wasn't with words that were fancy. It wasn't eloquent speech, right? It was very simple words. Talk about the words that came out of his mouth. Verse 3. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Now watch verse 4. "And my," people misunderstand this a lot. "And my speech and my preaching." So what's he talking about? The words that he speaks, right? "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." So again, one more time. What is he talking about? His words. "But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." So notice, his words were not with man's wisdom, but his words were of the Spirit and of power, and demonstration of the Spirit and of power. A lot of people misunderstand that verse. They think that I wasn't speaking to you. I was, you know, like apostolics oftentimes. Pentecostals say, "I wasn't just speaking things to you. I was doing miracles." That's not what he's saying. He says, "My words there." "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom," but, speaking about his word, "but in demonstration of Spirit and of power." Watch. Further proof of that. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Your faith should be in the power of God's word.
Amen.
That's what it's saying. The words have power. Verse 6. "Howbeit we speak." So notice we're on the same subject still. Watch this. Very interesting. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." Saying those that are perfect Christians. Not perfect as in the sense of the way we use perfect, but complete is what this means. It means mature is what it's saying. Mature Christians. "Yet not the wisdom of this world." Say the words that we speak, it's not the same as the wisdom of this world. It's God's wisdom is what he's saying. "Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." That means they come to nothing, right? It's not the same kind of wisdom. I'm breaking this down very carefully right now and simply because what he's going to say right now, I want you to catch this. Verse 7. "But we speak," the words, right? "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." So there's a specific wisdom that God ordained, it's talking about right now. God's wisdom that he ordained, right? It says, "which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Okay? Look at verse 8. "Which none of the princes of this world knew." So the princes of this world, they didn't know this wisdom, right? "For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." You notice that? If they would have known the wisdom of God, they would have known the words that God speaks, which is the wisdom of God, they wouldn't have crucified the word of God in flesh, the wisdom of God in flesh. So over and over again, you can see like this subtle change where he's talking about God's word, and then he'll just start speaking about, if they knew God's word, they wouldn't have crucified God's word in the flesh.
Right.
That's what he's saying. Very last place I'm going to have you turn is Matthew 4:4. This is going to tie in with the end of last week's sermon. Because let me say this, the most important thing is the unity of the three. It's the unity, it's that they are one. The emphasis over and over again in the Bible is on the unity. It's on them being one, right? Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 4. We saw that Jesus Christ, when he was speaking unto his disciples, just as a refresher, last week, we saw that Jesus Christ was talking about how the Spirit proceeded forth, right? The Spirit of God that proceeds from the Father, right? And then he said that God sent him and that he came out of God, right? We talk about him being the Spirit of God because these three are one. But I'm going to show you right now that God, when it talks about him coming out of the Father, it's also talking about God's Word. Look at Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 4. The Bible says this, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word," watch this, "that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Last week we had a very clear statement that Jesus Christ said, "I proceeded forth from God." I proceeded forth from God. Right here we have a statement where the Bible tells you that the Word of God is what proceeds forth. It proceeds forth out of the mouth of God.
Right.
When God commands something, it comes to pass. You know what's extremely interesting is we saw Jesus saying over and over again that it proceeds out of the Father and that the Father is going to give the Spirit, right? And then we see him saying, you know, Philip says to him, "Show us the Father and it sufficeth us." And he's like, "Have I been so long time with you and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" That's what he's going to have to say, which is a bunch of these, you know, stinking Orthodox Trinitarians. They're going to get there for like 10, 20 minutes and they're, you know, walking with Jesus. And they're like, "Man, where's the Father?" And he's going to stop like, "Adam Fannin, have I been so long time with you and yet hast thou not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father?
Right.
Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me?"
Amen.
Because he proceeded forth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
And you know what's interesting? Like I said, it says very clearly that he proceeded forth of God. I came out of God. And he says the Father's going to proceed. He says that the Father's going to send the Spirit. But then who shows up to send the Spirit? Jesus. Now catch this. When he shows up and he sends the Spirit, how does he send it? It proceeds forth out of his mouth.
Amen.
Right.
You get that?
Yeah, man.
He says, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Guess what came out of his mouth? The Word of God. Guess what came out of his mouth? The Holy Spirit.
That's right.
I mean, for there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Yeah, he proceeded out of the Father. He's the Spirit of the Father. The Spirit of God. But guess what? He's the Word of God. Literally. Out of his mouth. I don't know exactly how it took place. The Bible doesn't record that. And I don't want to conjecture things like that. But I believe it would make a lot of sense. Like this. I just thought of this. I was going to say that he spoke. When Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit was sent down and overshadowed Mary, it would make a whole lot of sense that when it was time, the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son. You know what it was? It was the Spirit, and it was the Word of God that came out of his mouth. Maybe he quoted Isaiah 7:14.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Amen.
Maybe he quoted, "A virgin shall conceive."
Yeah.
"Let there be light," and there was light. "A virgin shall conceive," and then she conceives. You know what came out of his mouth? What's John Matthew 4 say again? "But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The Bible's amazing!
Amen. Amen.
And you know what? You're missing out on truths in the Bible when you keep just rejecting. You know, this just trash, this stinking Catholic doctrine.
Right.
And you say, "When are you going to be done preaching about this?" Well, I have a lot of stuff to preach about. There's so much. Right. And I love it.
Amen.
I don't want you guys to be lopsided. You know, so that's why I preach something different in the morning. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want you guys to be lopsided, but there's so much, and this is important, and people want to keep attacking us. Well, hey, point them to passages when they say, "Oh, that word is a person." Yeah, what about God said?
Yeah, right.
You know, I want you guys to be equipped. This is a sword.
Amen.
Right? And you know what? Think about this. Let's end on this. It just popped into my mind. What did Jesus say that he came to do when he came? "I came not to bring peace, but rather division." And then, like Brother Hall just quoted, you look that up in another gospel, you know what he says? "I came not to bring peace, but a sword." For the word, Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Guess what it does? Piercing even to the dividing asunder. You know why? Because he's the word of God.
Amen.
And he's dividing stuff.
Right.
And he's the sword because he's the word of God. And guess what? He is God. Because what does he have coming out of his mouth? You have the word of God in the flesh and the word of God coming out of his mouth. In the beginning, the Bible says in John chapter number 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." There's a distinction. The Word was God. The one.
Amen.
In every sense of are one. The Word is distinct, but it is. He was the literal spoken Word of God in the flesh. Let's bow our head and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for just how amazing your Word is. There's so much in there we can keep studying it, dear Lord God. Just please keep revealing things to us. Help us to have a humble heart, dear Lord. That if somebody shows us that we're wrong, that we'll admit that we're wrong, dear Lord. We ask you also that you would endow upon every Christian in this land, in this country, in this world, that they would also have a humble heart. They would come to understand and believe your Word, dear Lord God. And just believe it for what it says, not try to use man's philosophy and reason, and dear Lord. And just please just, as I said, just give us a deeper understanding. Help us to grow in truth. Help us to keep a humble heart and not to refrain from the truth and fight against the truth. We love you. Just be with us and help us to love the power of your Word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.